Hello, this is Reed Davis, and today we'll be mapping functional lab testing on the 15-minute matrix.
Welcome to the 15-minute matrix. I'm Andrea Nakayama, functional medicine nutritionist and your host. This is the podcast that brings you bite-sized insights and lessons on how to use the most important tool in functional medicine and functional nutrition. Today on the 15-Minute Matrix, I'll be speaking with my friend and colleague, Reed Davis. Reed is a certified nutritional therapist, fitness trainer, and environmental paralegal. He's an expert in functional lab testing and holistic lifestyle medicine and founder of the Functional Diagnostic Nutrition Certification Course. Reed served as health director and case manager at the Better Health and Wellness Center in Poway, California for over 10 years and now teaches the FDN course with over 2,500 trainees or graduates in 50 countries. He's a clinical advisor at BioHealth Laboratory, helping practitioners interpret lab test results and develop natural protocols to restore function rather than just treating symptoms. And as Reed said, we'll be mapping functional lab testing, looking at what labs can and cannot tell you and which labs you may want to use to assess different physiological functions. Let's get to it. Welcome to the 15-Minute Matrix, Reed. I'm super excited to spend some time with you today.
Thank you so much, Andrea. It's so great to just be talking to you.
We have so much that we like to talk about, and I'm excited to dive in today to functional lab testing. And I'm wondering, with your expertise, if we could sort of go right into the soup or central part of the matrix and talk about how and where you might use labs, starting from the basics, which I would say is the GI function.
Sure. That's you have to look at the hormones, immune digestion, detoxification, and that comes through the gut. You know, you're eating and you eat all kinds of nasty stuff and it destroys your insides, and then, you know, you've got problems. And so you can test it. And we run a urine test, a couple of them actually, depending on if we're looking for oxidative stress, which is right on the matrix there. We look for, lipid peroxides in terms of that. We look at what's called indican, which is a measurement. Are you actually breaking down and absorbing your protein and other nutrients? We can look at liver function, which is detoxification, on a simple urine test. So that's one of the first tests I run in every person.
Is there one test that you're looking at functionally for all of that, or do you sequentially go through them? If we're to focus primarily on gastrointestinal function, is there a battery of tests that you're considering there?
You know, I run 5 labs in every person because I never know where the problem originated. Mm-hmm. So someone could have GI, someone could have, though they could show up with thyroid symptoms. Thyroid is something that's very common. There's a certain traditionally reliable cluster of symptoms. You know what they are. And, you think thyroid. And a lot of people would go ahead and just test the thyroid. And they'd pat themselves on the back if the test showed thyroid was low. Now, and then they'd treat the test results for the most part. That's how kind of standard medicine goes. We would say, well, what's really wrong with the person? And it could be gut dysfunction. Gut dysfunction affects the thyroid stimulating hormone from the pituitary. It also affects conversion of T4 to T3 in the liver. And it also, there's other things going on in the gut that prevent you from having normal thyroid levels. So when people show up with a problem, we start looking way upstream. And if you do that long enough and hard enough and sincerely enough, there's probably 3, 4, 5 labs you'd run in every person, regardless of what their problems were.
Which kind of gut test do you run?
Well, I like what this urine test called the metabolic assessment profile looks at. Digestion, are you breaking down and absorbing? And that would be based on the bacterial and enzymes from the small intestines. So if that's dysfunctional and and out of whack, so to speak, you're not going to have good assimilation of nutrients. And, you know, that can cause all kinds of problems. So the Indican test is really good for that. The same test measures lipid peroxide, which is oxidative stress. It's right there in the matrix. You know, that's a pretty could be serious. If you have enough oxidative stress, cells can mutate, go cancerous. I mean, it's not a good thing. So then, of course, the same test measures liver function. You could be breaking down food. You know, it goes through the hepatic portal system into the liver, and that can be congested, and you can spill out all kinds of things being out into the bloodstream, causing all kinds of problems. So a real simple urine, you can cover those things. Digestion, you can get kind of a peek into the immune system. It's kind of a peek at leaky gut. It's definitely a good measurement for the liver. And then we actually do another urine test that requires a different kind of challenge, and that would be for hyperpermeability. So I might run those two labs on every person.
Is it typically urine that you're testing when you're doing these functional labs?
Saliva, urine, blood, and stool are the most common sort of bodily things that we can get our hands on. Hair is another one. But you can get a lot of information from those elements.
It sounds like you like to use urine, stool, blood. You mentioned hair. Can you speak into what you might be using those different elements for at different times?
It's healing opportunities. So most, or let's just say a lot of practitioners, they're diagnosing. Like, again, back to the thyroid, you take one of these other tests. Now, a physician who's licensed to do so would label a problem. Let's say you're hypothyroid, and then say, here's the treatment, because they have, you know, standard of care, and they kind of have to prescribe or whatever it is. I look at that as kind of treating the paper for the most part. And it, and what people don't do enough, Andrea, as you well know, is say, well, why is my thyroid underproducing?
Right.
And the typical response is, well, it's idiopathic. You know, we don't know why. Here's your, just take your medicine and you'll feel better. And so, but we don't. We always ask, well, what's really wrong? And that's what the tests, why we run the tests. So anyone can run a lab. It's best to do it with someone who knows how to interpret it functionally, which means, you know, what's wrong? What's the healing opportunity? Then you have to know how to fix it, which is why on the one side of the matrix, you have the sleep, exercise, nutrition. That's what we call our DRESS program. Same thing. It's the lifestyle protocols. So it's what's wrong with the labs and other intake, and then how to fix it. That's pretty much the whole game.
Yeah, I like to call it the art of the practice. Art standing for assess, recommend, and track, because, you know, we are not necessarily in the game of diagnosing and prescribing, but we can assess, and you're talking about clear assessment tools, and then that enables you to make recommendations and to track the results. Can you speak a little bit more into your DRESS model and how that relates to where you would use functional labs, so where you're combining the use of functional labs with the DRESS model?
Yes, certainly. So once you've identified healing opportunities, you know, you're basically forming an impression about a person. Again, we don't want to treat the test results, and we're not doctors. We can't diagnose. We don't want to treat anything specifically. That would be practicing medicine. What we want to do is treat everything non-specifically. So we can have an effect, a good effect, a benefit on every cell, tissue, organ, system. The entire organism just functions better. Again, you can use the labs to kind of target and know what needs fixing, and then, you know, what you can measure, you can also measure the improvement of. So you have the objective, and then you have how the person feels. But again, we still don't want to treat anything specific. So what we do is treat everything, and using diet, rest, exercise, stress reduction, and supplementation. But the first things, the diet, eating the right ratios of macronutrients, is really beneficial for energy production. You don't have to teach your cells what their job is. They know what their job is. They just need to be fueled properly.
Right.
So not only do you need the right amount of these macronutrients, protein, fat, and carbs, you need vitamins, minerals, essential fatty acids, the amino acids, the antioxidants. You know, so all of those things we call the micronutrients. So again, diet, you want to get it from that. You need to fuel yourself up so that you have really good energy. satiation. You know, you shouldn't be craving, even a sense of well-being from food. That's all in the realm. And supplements for where, you know, you're not getting the right nutrients or where you want to do additional support or stimulation. So diet, and then, but did we treat anything specifically with that?
Yeah, I love that you're saying non-specific. Mm-hmm. That's where we work with the terrain. Mm-hmm. We're looking at the soil in which those roots took hold. And I think that what you and I both are advocates of, and that gets overlooked so often, is that when we shift the terrain, when we work non-specifically, as you're saying, we do shift the specific condition, because the condition exists in an arena. The specific condition exists in a non-specific arena. And that's why, you know, we look at the matrix, or we look at it through these lenses.
That's what the matrix is. It describes the totality, and there's chaos within it that can get straightened out. And our system, the one you and I use, Andrea, is that non-specific treatment of everything actually performs better than specific treatment. And that's why people, you know, have been to 8 different practitioners and aren't better yet. Yeah. It might be a little better, but they're not better yet. That's why they're seeing you. If you want to be the last person that they need to see, stop treating specifics, treat everything non-specifically, and let the chips fall where they may. You'll get great results. Now, in some people, you do that, they make tremendous improvements, and sometimes some void, vital void we call it, or weak link in metabolism, may be revealed that will need ongoing support. So they get better, either 100%, 90%, or some very high level, or, you know, a vital void is revealed. If they don't have a gallbladder, for instance, you can't grow one back.
Right.
So that's a vital void that will have to be supported. They'll have to take their, you know, ox bile or whatever you decide.
Yep.
And works good for them for the rest of their life. That's so if they come to you and their thyroid is burned off already, you've got to deal with it as a void. Otherwise, everything gets better.
Yeah. So what do you say to the person who does think that functional lab testing is an X for Y scenario, where you are doing specific work versus non-specific work? Because I find that a lot of people think that the functional lab testing is going to tell them the answer with a capital T.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, two things. One is that's the medical model. You know, it sounds like thyroid based on a traditionally reliable cluster of symptoms. Let's run a thyroid test. And unfortunately, they actually do find the thyroid is low. So they've now found your problem diagnosing hypothyroid, and here's your treatment. Now, in my experience of 20 years, only 2 out of 10 thyroid cases are actually something wrong with the thyroid.
Right.
It's always some other influence, or you know, heavily influenced. So you got to do all the work. That's the first thing I would say. The next thing I would say is that there is no one test. We're 50 years away technologically from being able to put a tube of blood or urine into a computer, and here's everything. You know Star Trek, the little tricorder thing,
right?
McCoy used, you know, that doesn't exist. That's 100 years away. So we have to use clues and correlate with an individual. We are never treating a cohort, a population. It's always one person.
Yeah, so let's go around and think about the different tests that we would do in different arenas, starting again with that gastrointestinal. Which tests would you put if you were looking, which functional tests, if you were looking to help understand somebody's GI function, would go in that arena?
Well, I like my metabolic assessment profile. Again, the urine tests that would look at indican, lipid peroxides, and urinary bile acids. That looks at digestion, oxidative stress, and liver function, which is covered somewhere else in there. I also would probably like to run a leaky gut test, depending on their symptoms, how bad they are and things. I also might want to actually run a stool test. And the reason is, if you have trouble upstairs, look downstairs sometimes.
Yeah.
We used to say, if you have trouble in the south, look north. And if you have trouble in the north, look south. So you kind of want, you know, you kind of want to cover it from both ends, no pun intended, you know, some saliva, some stool. You know, so some urine. So, Yeah. Now, moving around there, because you started with gastrointestinal.
Yeah.
Immune and inflammatory balance. Well, the immune system, 75% of it's in the gut.
Right.
So you're going to get a pretty good reflection by doing GI kind of work. And if you do the stool test along with it, you're also going to look at inflammatory markers.
Mm-hmm.
And you can also, because we're just sort of done a lot of these, you can just tell by a combination of what you see, any bugs. Some bugs are known to cause inflammation more than others. And then the person, the way they show up. Remember, it's always an individual. We never treat the paper. So you have to do what's called clinical correlation. Here's what the test results say. Now let's go to the person and see if it matches up. And that would include their history, their complaints, and so on. And you know what? You get really good at clinical correlation.
Yes.
And matter of fact, if they're sometimes that weighs more heavily than even what's on the paper.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then now moving around here, the environmental inputs, again, they affect everything in your brain and your entire body. They can affect digestion and elimination and the hormones and the immune system, and energy production and all these things. But there are environmental pollutant panels. You can look and see how much exposure you're getting. Like someone who lives, you know, maybe 10,000 feet up in a mountain, way far away from everything, probably doesn't have as many environmental contaminants in their bloodstream and in their body and in their liver and heart and everywhere as someone who lives in L.A. Oxidative stress, I mentioned, part of the urine test. Energy production, believe it or not, the test I use for that is I use a metabolic typing test, which tells me whether you're eating the right fuel. You can't – energy production needs to be considered on a cellular level. Again, the cell knows its job. It just needs enough energy to do it. So it's going to burn fuel. That's what we mean by energy production. What? You're burning fuel, protein, fat, carbs. Some people burn carbs much better than others, much faster than others. They can eat, some more of that than the next person.
Yep.
So energy production, I look mostly at the macronutrient ratios. And when you change the macronutrient ratios, cells start working better. They start producing energy to do their job better. When they're doing their job better, they know if they're an adrenal cell or a testicle cell or a heart cell or a brain cell or whatever it is. They know what their job is, and they're just glad to do it. So moving around the detoxification, the liver is your main detoxifying organ. You can check other things. The other detoxifiers would be your skin and your lungs and your colon and your lymph system. Moving around to hormones, I like saliva testing because, again, I'm not trying to diagnose and treat the paper. You know, I'm looking for just really – I'm looking for imbalances like cortisol to DHA ratio.
Right, patterns.
Cortisol is catabolic. You're breaking down. DHEA is anabolic. You're building up. You know, you want to look at the ratio of those things. Estrogen to progesterone in women, incredibly important.
Yes.
I heard one of your guests talk recently about that. She did a great job explaining how important that is so you don't get endometriosis or fibroids or brain fog.
If you'd like to listen to more 15-Minute Matrix episodes related to hormones, please go to episodes 17 and 19 with Dr. Jolene Brighton and Dr. Carrie Jones, respectively. One last question for you, and that's around labs, functional labs that are measuring the antecedents or the genetic factors. What's your opinion about those?
You know, the experts that I talk to, even Ben Lynch, who I'm a buddy of, have come around. Dr. Lynch has come around to it's all epigenetics.
Yep.
According to Russell Jaffe, who's another physician I really respect, he's a lab owner, owns a supplement company. He says it's only 8% genetics.
Yeah.
So while I think those things are very helpful, it's like a lot of tests, they kind of get abused. You're putting too much sort of faith in that one test result, and you're going to, you know, change that one thing. It's much better to treat non-specifically. You will outperform those treating specifics, And all it takes is your lifestyle holistic behavior program. It's right there in front of you. I'm looking at your the functional nutritional matrix right now, the sleep, relaxation, exercise, movement, nutrition, hydration. I guess I would just put my supplements in there in nutrition. And then the stress reduction, relationships, networks, the social support and stuff. That's the answer.
That's key. That we got the answer. We're all set. Thank you so much, Reed, for mapping functional labs on the 15-minute matrix.
I thought it was only 5 minutes, but that was good.
The 15-Minute Matrix is brought to you by me, Andrea Nakayama, and the Functional Nutrition Alliance. The 15-Minute Matrix team includes my son, Gilbert Nakayama, on sound production, Renee Hunt, Natalie Merrill, and Christine Shook. You can visit us and hear more episodes at 15minutematrix.com. And if you'd like to be notified each time there is a new podcast episode ready for you, please go to 15minutematrix.com/notify. Give us your name and email, and we will email you about those podcast episodes and nothing else. You can also email us anytime you'd like to tell us who you'd like to hear on the podcast or what you'd like to see mapped on the 15-Minute Matrix. And to email us, just go to ask@15minutematrix.com, and I will look forward to hearing from you.